the topic they told me I should speak on is the question of Minhag and Anah. How Minhag affects the regular laws of Anah that we find in the Shulchan Aruch. So I want to start just by a little bit of a general discussion on Minhag and how it affects Halacha in general, and then after that we'll discuss Minhag and how it affects Chashan Mishpat, and in particular Anah. So Minhag we know is the Yisod Gadol in all of our Halacha, Minhag Mevatel Halacha, which was actually said specifically with regard to Chashan Mishpat. We'll get to that later. But in general, we know that Minhag plays a major role in Halacha, that Ad Kedei Kach, that Minhag sometimes allows us to disregard explicit Halachas, do things, not do things that we're mechuyev to do things that we're not mechuyev to do. Some of the famous examples include Duchening. We Ashkenazim don't duchen every day. This is a minhag that goes back to the late Rishonim, at least. And it's a pella, the Beis Yosef, and everyone is machmia, and nobody has ever had a really good reason why we don't. Many person have tried to offer reasons. Another example is the Chassidim, who don't sit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, an old minhag also, but one that's very, very difficult to understand why they don't sit in the Sukkah. So again, there are many terutzim given. That's another classic example, though, of where we have minhagim that go against Shulchan Aruch. Ribbis. There was a very interesting machlokas in the, getting closer to the Chashan Mishpat now, a very interesting machlokas in the late 19th century between the Sholem Eshev and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That was when modern banking, the Jews were always moneylenders, but in the late 19th century they began to have what we think of as banks, which are groups of investors who provide funds and lend to clients, and some of these banks were Jewish and some of the clients were Jewish. So there are many tshuvas in the 19th century European poskim about banking. So when the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Gansfried, when he wrote the Kitzur, he wrote, you're not allowed to do it. If you have a Jewish bank, you can't lend money with ribbis to Jewish customers. The Shalom Eshev, Rabbi Nathanson, was not happy. He wrote a tshuva to him saying, Hayitachin, something that all of Klal Yisrael does, you're just going to get up there and say, they're all doing an Isser, that's not the way halacha works, you can't talk like that, you can't do things like that. What's that kind of chat? So he gave a couple of heterim, we're not going to get into them tonight. The heterim are dachuk, and they're das yachids, or the heterim are, you know, not great. But he ends up by saying that, I want to remind you again, the Yisodis, you can't just get up here and say that whatever Klal Yisrael, everyone's doing the wrong thing, and I'm right. When you republish your Sefer, he said, I want you to take that line out and not write that. I don't think he ever did, but that's an example of the kach of Minhag. And one other famous example from your day, Avin Ezra, before we get to Chashan Mishpat, is the shaila of women's hair covering. You know, we know through most of Klal Yisrael's history, the religious women covered their hair. From the late 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, there was something of a laxity among many segments of Klal Yisrael. The Hungarians were very makpid, people tell me, but the Lithuanians, were, as is well known, were not makpid. Many of them were not makpid. Much of the Maghreb, North Africa, was not makpid, apparently. And Poskim struggled with it. Poskim tried to understand, even women who were firm in general were often not covering their hair. And the question is why? So no one really knows. It was just hard. It's hard to know. Even distinguished women among Litvish for sure, even distinguished women from distinguished families didn't. Nobody really knows. So in our time, we have Rabbi Michael Breit from Atlanta, who's made something of a lifetime crusade trying to justify the minhag. Again, we're not going to get into his svaras, but the point is, he's coming a lot because of this question. When you have a minhag, which a large section of Klal Yisrael didn't do, there is a mitzvah liyashiv. The question is, you have to see if there is a yeshiv. So these are just a few of the more sensational examples of minhagim in general, and that contradicts halacha in other areas of Shulchan Aruch. Tonight we're going to be discussing minhag and ona, and in Chashan Mishpat in general, minhag works with somewhat different rules than it works in other areas of Shulchan Aruch. We know that mammon is isnu b'mechila. You can always be machil mammon. So unlike ribbis and kisi rosh and duchening, which are Hashem's halachas, mamonis, even though there is gzeila and ana is a lav daraisa, it is a mitzvah, but we know that mammon generally depends on what people make up, and there's always much more of a makom for minhag in mammon because of the lashon isnu l'mechila, kol tnai shel mammon kayim. There is of course the issue of mach mashkas betara, which we'll touch on a little bit later. Additionally, in Mammon we have the idea of takanas. We know that Chazal Masachin many Takanas, the later Bate Din, the Gaonim, the Rishonim, Kehilos were Masachin Takanas, and again, even though there were Masachin Takanas in Yisurim too, it's always much easier to Masachin Takanas in Mammon because you're not violating Yisurim. The Torah's Yisurim of Gezel, of Ana, are always dependent on the underlying Mammon. So insofar as Basin has the right to make Takanas in Mammon, then they have the right to they get around the Yisurim. Now, even though Minhag is a vast topic, especially in Chashon Mishpat, anyone who's been learning Chashon Mishpat for any amount of time knows that the Rambam, especially all Peskim, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch in particular, often say things like Kol Zeh Kishein Minhag, Aval Kishiyesh Minhag, Hakol Kufi HaMinhag, and because again, because in Mammon it's much easier to have Minhagim, but the Lamdus is not always very clear. There are two or three different ways in which Minhag can work, and they're usually not spelled out that clearly by the Poskim exactly what Lamdus is operating. So it's very hard sometimes to figure out in Lamdus whether something should or shouldn't work. So we're going to have to kind of quote specific examples of what the Poskim have said and try to understand why Minhag should or shouldn't work in some of the cases we discussed. The one very basic nafkamina in what kach minhag you're using in Chashon Mishpat, there are basically at least two main mahalchim in which minhag can operate. One of them simply is that, let's say I hire a worker, or let's say a landlord and a tenant have a contract. So halacha is full of certain default assumptions: how long a stam lease should be, whether employment is at will or not, what kind of responsibilities the landlord has, how much you'll have to pay, when the worker has to show up to work. There are actually halachas that govern these things. But it's easy to understand. We all understand that these halachas are mostly defaults. Even though the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, they tell us that when you hire a worker, he has to come at nights. Obviously, you can make any arrangement you want. You can tell the worker, come later, come earlier. And if you don't tell him when to come, so even though the Gemara says the default is, let's say, morning, daybreak, but in a community where the workday universally starts at a different time, obviously that's going to be the halacha. And you don't need any major lumdus aminah. That's because when I hire him, the assumption was that we were both bound by whatever the default practice is. And if the default practice is to come 2 hours after nates or 2 hours before nates, and obviously that's going to control. That's very posh. You don't need any fancy Torah. That's one aspect of minhag. Another aspect of minhag is more of a takana. We find that sometimes minhag and takana are used almost interchangeably, especially when it's a minhag vasikin or a minhag al pi beistin. There we find the poskim often say that minhag has the koach to actually override halacha. Now, we mentioned before the phrase minhag mevatel halacha. We'll be hearing it tonight on and off. Minhag mevatel halacha is actually Yerushalmi. The Rishonim bring it in Hapoalim. The first Mardechai in Hapoalim brings this lashon. And the Yerushalmi is actually talking about the cases we mentioned earlier, the cases of when a poel has to show up to work and what kind of perks the Baal Bayis has to give him. And Nachronim have pointed out that's not something we really would see that you need any fancy lumdus of minhag. You wouldn't think that's called bittel halacha. That's called the default assumptions change if there's a different understanding. So Nachronim struggle a little bit trying to understand why the Yerushalmi makes up such an interesting phrase of minhag mevatel halacha. But as I alluded to before, one basic nafkamina that we can have between what kind of minhag we're using is whether we have these rules, let's say, of minhag vasikin or minhag al pi beistin. If the minhag is just going to establish and determine a default understanding, an understanding of when he has to come, it doesn't seem that you really need any kind of minhag vasikin. If everyone in town works this way and I hired him, then he's supposed to come, whatever the standard assumption is. It doesn't seem that you really need these additional requirements of minhag vasikin. However, if it's a kind of takana, if it can actually override a halacha, then there's a much better chance that you may actually need not just any minhag, but a special minhag, a minhag vasikin. So the rules are not clear. Again, as I said, the poskim don't really treat this systematically, and it's hard to say definite rules here, but these are just some of the general ideas and some of the issues that may come up. So one interesting example of a case of a minhag in Chashon Mishpat where there seems to be some, a bit of an issue as to what kind of minhag it is. There's a very famous minhag that the Ramah brings in at least three places. Twice in Hilchos Purim, in Arachayim, Tafresh Tadi Hei Beis, and Tafresh Tadi Vav Ches, and then again in Chashon Mishpat, in the end of Shinayin Ches. There used to be a minhag at weddings, though. This comes from Rishonim, that we know in medieval Europe, jousting was often a form of public entertainment. They would have it at coronations or at other public occasions. So apparently, via Kristallzach and so on, apparently at Jewish weddings they used to have jousts. So today the friends of the chassan do chassan shtick. Back then they would joust. They don't describe in much detail what they did, but it says they would have bachrim on horses, and they would ride against each other, and there would be milchamim, whatever that means, and it seems they wouldn't actually try to kill each other, but occasionally people would be hurt. Occasionally clothing would be damaged, or horses would be damaged. It sounds like actual bodily damage wasn't that common. I guess they weren't that vile, but there was damage occasionally. So the Rishonim said, this is a Tosfos on Daf Mem Hei in Sukkah, Mem Hei and Aleph, and Mordechai over there, and the Mordechai a little earlier in Sukkah, and in Arzarua, and Shin Tesvav, and Chelik Beis, I think Shin Tesvav, and this is the Makar of some of those Ramas, that Tosfos says that from the din of Mikan, Shang, at Miyad, Atinoka, Shomtin, Lovay, and that they used to have Minhagim to just grab things, and that was part of the Simcha, Tosfos says that would be a Makar, that if people get hurt in the jousting, it's understood, and it's by Talpi the Minhag, and you can't be Tavafri. The Rama I mentioned brings basically this kind of halacha twice in Hilchos Purim. The context of the Rama is that while they were being rejoicing and having a good time on Purim, occasionally they would grab things away from each other, food, and just eat them, eat the stuff they grabbed. Occasionally they would actually hurt each other. So again, the Rama brings from different Pesukim, from these Rishonim, from the Tshuvos Ma'arimin, and Siman Yud Zayin, that these things are considered al pi minhag, and they weren't and you can't be tavaf them. So the person can give different rules. Not what if it's a large hezek, a small hezek, benezid, b'shagig. The rules are not our topic right now. But the point is they explicitly invoke minhag as a reason to pater. Now this is not really the same kind of minhag that we discussed before of schiras paalim and schiras which are contractual issues. The hezekir, there's no contract. We're not talking about how to interpret a contract. Afal Pikein, the post can invoke Minhag. So, the Prima Gadim in Arachayim, in the first place, in Tafresh Tadi Hei, I think it's the Eshlav Ram, Sifkan Zayin, uses the Lashon and the Stama Mochlin Zazah. That he seems to understand the Minhag is not so much a Takana, the Minhag just is that it's a Mechila, that they all know what Purim is like, and they all know that things happen, and they all participate in the system, and it's a kind of Mechila. On the other hand, we find other Poskim who say the Ramam self brings from the Mari Mintz in Tafresh Tadi Vav, that it's only if they did Alpi Basin, if they exceeded what the local authorities allow, if they were tuvild, if they did beyond what Basin allows, then they're going to be chayiv. So it's not really clear, if it was just a simple question of mechila, it's not entirely clear why Basin would have a vote. It could be that the assumption is there's no mechila if Basin doesn't like it, but it could also be that the Marari Mintz understood that this is more of a takana, and for a takana you need the authority of Basin. There was one very interesting application of this halacha I saw recently. There's a tshuva in... It's a tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Masas, the great Moroccan posik. So he talks about a case. The Ma'ar Mokum says, Ma'im Chaim, Simon Reshtes Vav, or Zayin. There was a custom, just like in some of our communities on Simchas Torah, people do various things to the Shlech Tzibur, various pranks and stuff, in some communities anyway. So in various Moroccan communities in North Africa, or in various places in North Africa, there was a custom that on Shavuos they would recite the Azharos. The Azharos were various poems, Ibn Gabirul and others, poems about the Tarag Mitzvahs, and they would honor somebody to recite them, and whoever would be honored would have the good fortune of having a bucket of water dumped over his head by his fellow congregants afterward. And once, somebody was wearing very expensive clothing, and his clothing got damaged, and he sued for damages. So Rav Masas, he tries to invoke this actor. He says, Taka, that we see a makar, that anything which is part of the generally accepted celebration, even if it causes some harm occasionally, is not actionable. However, he says this klal again, it's only if it was according to what Basin allowed. If they went too far, if they did things that Basin didn't allow, then again, he's going to be chayv. So, on the other hand, one other aspect of minhag in this context, this comes up again and nice all the time. It just came up yesterday, actually, in an entire that we had, is the question of allowing victims of car accidents, of malpractice, of other kinds of things to file claims with the tortfeasor's insurance. This is a hotly discussed topic among contemporary poskim. Many poskim are mekel for various reasons. Some poskim are not mekel. So the svaras for the mekelim are not so clear. And many of them invoke various kinds of minhagim. They say you can't run the world any other way. The whole economic culture works with insurance. One of the most famous of the mekelim is Rav Mendel Shafran, the Dayan Mufak in Bnei Brak. His stuff is Mipi Ashmu in various places, but I spoke to him about it once personally. But he's well known as being a mekel, and he invokes these kinds of svaras. That's the minhag. That's what everyone does. But they printed, or by Grossman's Kohl, once printed the Kovitz Umka Dedina. There are a couple of volumes. This is the one on Mizakin and Zela and stuff. So on page 68 there, they print a letter from Rav Nachemi Goldberg, another Dayan Mufak in Eretz Yisrael, who strongly rejects this. And he kind of makes the point we made earlier. He says that He says that tzirith palim, which is basically contractual, and I pay you for work, and what is work? Work is defined as whatever the minhag is. What is pay? Pay is, what are the perks? What is pay? That's whatever the minhag is. But insurance, which is just, we have no previous arrangement, and we just bump into each other in the street to say that anytime I turn on my car and I drive out of my driveway, I'll das kain, he finds that a difficult minhag. Well, nice, as we pointed out, there is precedent for that. And the minhag of Purim, the minhag of the chasinas, the minhag of the anshvus, Poskim do say that even when it comes to Nizakin, people who have no real arrangement, they just participate in some societal ritual, is enough. It's maybe Rav Zalman Lechem felt that mere driving is not enough. It's not like going to the same shul and shavuos. Hakal panim, we do find this idea that even legabing Nizakin and stuff, there are minhagim. On the other hand, you know, some Poskim, like Rav Zalman Lechem, don't like it if you take it too far. They don't like you to just override the Torah and just wave your hands and say minhag. And this is basically the introduction to what we want to talk about tonight, that the rest of the share will be about actual Maror Mekomos on the topic of but this is the backdrop of, you know, of, okay, when you do and you don't say minhag, either because of simple kilu hisnu like by Poalim, or because of kinds of takanas and hefker based and hefker and such like. So the first Maror Mekomos we need to discuss is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is in Reish Lamed Beis Sif Yud Tes. This is Hilchas Nechachtos. Some of the Maror Mekomos we're going to discuss tonight will be about Ona, some will be about Nechachtos, and there's a lot of overlap. But in Reish Lamed Beis Yud Tes, the Mechaber brings a Tshuvas HaRosh. The Rosh was discussing a person who bought eggs, and the eggs turned out to be Muzaros, which the annotation explains means that the little chicken started to grow inside. And you can't eat eggs like that. It's either treif or gross or both, but you can't eat them. So that's basically a pretty bad mum. So the Lashon of the Mechaber, according to Tshuvas HaRosh, is if a person sells Beim L'chavero, V'nimtzu Muzaros, She'enem Ruim L'achila, Avim Mechachtos, U'machzir Chadam. That's a Tshuvas HaRosh, very simple din, you know, nothing strange, nothing out of the ordinary about it, it's very pashut din. Then the Mechaber adds, V'achshav lo nagu keinu mining mevatla halacha. Mining mevatla halacha, as we discussed earlier, is the Lashon of the Yushalmi. And when the Mechaber adds this line, today we don't do this din because mining mevatla halacha. This is actually a very remarkable statement of the Mechaber because there's no Makar for it. The Makar for it is a Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef, after he brings the first part of the halacha, which is the Tshuvas HaRosh, he then adds on his own, we're not knowing this way. This is so the Beis Yosef, you know, as is well known in Shulchan Aruch, has very little of his own. Almost everything he has is just quotes from the Rishonim with his own Hachra sometimes. But this is a fairly rare example of a case where the Beis Yosef felt this was so important that he added his own halacha. It did nothing against it from the Rishon necessarily, but he added his own halacha to just tell you this important halacha, the meaning of atla halacha applies to Ona. A very important din. The Ramah doesn't comment, the poskim on the page all seem to accept it, the Daki Moshe in the Torah brings this Beis Yosef, so this seems to be a well-accepted halacha. The Pesach Tshuva in Pesach Tshuva in Sifkan Vav actually invokes this Mechaber. He's talking about other cases like that where things would be a mum, but the minhag is not like that. And he says also minhag levatal halacha, and we ignore the basic definition of mum in favor of the minhag. The
is it pshat that we're being mishanah the halacha, or is it that mum is just based on what people think?
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Yes, we're going to discuss, you know, different possible ways to understand the Mechaber, and that's exactly so. Yeah, which is the Hesber, and depending on what the Hesber is, which cases can we apply it to? That is the crucial point that we need to get straighter. Yes. The Pesach Tshuva brings us, and also Legabe different cases. One of the cases the Pesach Tshuva talks about is Minhagim, they used to sell certain things like Esrogim in sealed boxes that the Mochan and the Lekav don't always know what they're getting. And again, the Pesach Tshuva says that's fine, that goes LP the Minhag. Just one second. Yeah, it's Reish Lamed Beis Vav. Thank you. I was using it. I was using the Friedman Shulchan Aruch all day, and now I'm back to my own. The Pesach Tshuva is going on the. The Tshuva says Chibduma Da'achshav Lo Nagu Kain, and Im Kain Menim Vatal Halacha, and he brings the Mechaber Din of Beim Muzaris. And he says, what in Bashar Dvarim? They used to sell glass, or Tevosim Esrogim, Chayotzibazeh. So Esrogim is a topic we'll get to a little bit later tonight, but he basically just says the Mechaber's Din applies to other cases of Mum, that whenever the minhag is to sell them sealed, and the Lokach understands that he's taking certain risks, the Lokach has to accept it and cannot claim Mechatos or Ono. So the Poskim have applied this Mechaber to various other cases. Including Treifus. So Treifus, we know from Reish Lamed Beis, Treifus is a mum. The question is always whether the hole no longer occurred before or after the sale, but Treifus are basically a mum, and you're entitled to ask for your money back. However, this is the Mechaber in Reish Lamed Beis, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Treifa de Sircha, there's Machlokes Vishonim that some poskim said, because they're very common, the Lokach accepts it. But regular Treifus were considered a mum. The various poskim have said that in the 19th century, the minhag was not to return treifus. This you'll see in the Mishpat Shalom and Reish Lamed Beis Sifyut Aleph, B'Shem the Mezkeres HaShulchan in Reish Chav Dalet. Pesach Choshen talks about it in Anah, Perikud Beis, Aron and Hay. And the Kesef Kedoshim also in Reish Lamed Beis Yud Aleph. Now the Kesef Kedoshim and the Mezkeres HaShulchan and Barshan, Mishpat Shalom all make a chiluk. They all make a chiluk between Behema and Oph. Now, the Marsham doesn't necessarily say why it's different. The Kesef Kedoshim actually says a chilek. He says that when it comes to behemoths, since even Medina of the Shulchan Aruch, Treifus of the Sircha, are not considered mumim because they're common and people accept them, so the male of the Lekech already knows there might be mumim suud and other mumim. So that doesn't sound like he's just invoking a regular minhag. That sounds like he's relying on the fact that anyway the Lekech knows that certain mumim are common. And the Talmud Mechaber's surface were also common, though, and still the other treifus were ma'akev. So somehow the Kesef Kedoshim has betzira for the fact that anyway surfaces are common, and today there's a minog. So he says that when it comes to behemoths, we don't claim one. When it comes to oaf, we do. Rashan brings this chiluk also. So a few achronim, basically, they're just basically applying the Mechaber. The Mechaber's din of behem uzar. So anytime there's a minog, we say minog mevatel halacha with the hesber you said or another hesber. They just apply this din to various other cases. As we pointed out, there are several ways to understand the halacha. We can understand, minhag mevatel halacha simply like a takana. We can understand, like I think you were saying, that the Mechaber earlier says, kol shiskimu lo b'nei medin. B'nei medin is a mum, arei zeh mum. What's considered a mum is tali on haskama. And this thing is just not considered a mum. We can also understand, possibly similar to the idea of nosei v'nosin b'amuna. The halacha of nosei v'nosin b'amuna is that if the mocher tells the lokach, I bought this for 100, I need a 20% markup, I'll sell it to you for 120, then the lokach cannot claim mechach tos. Even though lechara all the ingredients mechach tos or for anah, let's say yoshim yishtos, whatever it is, are here, even if it's 130, whatever it is, even if it's yoshim yishtos, lokach can say, I know you wanted a 30% markup, but I thought it was really worth that much, and it turns out it's not. Afal became, the rule is that if the lokach, if the price was completely disconnected, if the lokach knows of the problems and knows that he's not necessarily getting a fair price, he knows that the price is being determined by some other rule, then that's not a question of minhag, that's just a din. So, and there are other halachas, we can get to mechilas mumim, so there might be other ways to learn this din, but I'll call upon the poskim use the lashon of minhag mevatel halacha. There are two other poskim, these are also contemporaries, roughly contemporaries of the Shulchan Aruch, who also took for a davar pashut that minhag applies in cases of onah and mechach tos. One of them is the Radvaz, who's basically on the same basis as the Beis Yosef, and contemporary, maybe even older, and one of them is the Rashdam, the next generation. The Tshuva in the Radvaz is in Chelik Dalad, Elef Reish Vav, or Elef or Kuf Lamed Vav, in the older numbering. Mishpat Shalom brings it in Reish Lamed Bey Zayin. The Radvaz is going on the Machlokas in the beginning of Reish Lamed Beis, whether if you use Lashonis that say Harani Mochel Kol Mum, and you don't say how much the mum is worth, if you get into those phrasings which are problematic from the beginning of the Siman, which certain cases don't work. So the Radvaz says that it might be Machlokas, might not be Machlokas. If you go through that sugya, you'll see there's all kinds of shitas, whether that's a Das Yachid or not. But I'll call upon him, the Radvaz says that when you use a language like that, even if it shouldn't work, even if the shitas that those languages of Ein Lecha Tainas Mum should not work, that's only in the absence of a minhag. He writes, L'fi shekvar nagu limchol kol ha'na'a v'chol mum b'lashon hazeh. The custom was that people used to agree to waive all Tainas Ha'na'a and all Tainas Mum with this language. Minhag mevatel halacha. So again, he invokes the same language as the Mechaber, minhag mevatel halacha. Filo minin kachamarin, vasaponin. Again, it doesn't have to be vasikin, it can just be a local tradesman. Kolchkin minin sachrim, bechenkas or ravzel. Shekol nos, venos, no minin gamadino, samich. Anybody who does business is samich on the minhag. So in mail, and the Radvaz later in the Tshuva says the same thing again, that the Radvaz takes for granted, again, without bringing him a card, just the basic idea that we follow minhag, and business is kafiya minhag. The Radvaz says the same thing as the Mechaber, that even language that normally should not work to as a valid mechila of mumim or of ana, it will work if the minhag is that it does. We find the same thing in the Marashdam. The Shal Tshuva's Marashdam, this is Shinayin Tess. So the Marashdam was dealing with the case of mineral rights. Basically, when these questions were discussed a lot in the 16th century and on, and the Sbaman was fired them a lot, in the Marashdam's case, what happened was they were selling, I think they were actual ore, they were selling some kind of ore or some kind of raw material, then we'll see later a tshuva about mineral rights, but this tshuva in Shinayin Tess was about they were selling some kind of, you can use this Turkish word, I don't know what they mean, but if you look in the tshuva, you'll see them. They were selling some kind of blocks of ore or of stuff that had silver in them, and they would put them through some kind of industrial process to extract the silver. Now, obviously, when you set a price of so and so per pound of the raw ore, that's going to depend on how much precious metal you actually succeed in extracting from the ore. So, in this particular case, unfortunately, the lokach was not able to extract nearly as much as he wanted. So he came back to the Mocher and said, oh no, the price I paid was not fair. So the Marashdam did not accept this argument. And he basically said that the basic argument he made is that Minhag overrides the normal halachas of Anah. He writes, Halacha Ravacha, Shekol Anosi Vanosi, Stam, Al Minhag Medina Usamech. People who do business, again, is Alpi the Minhag. Imken, in Yisbarisha, Minhag Pashut, Vanosi, Vanosi, Bedover Zeh. If we establish that the minhag is that no matter how much or how little silver he extracts from the ore, there is no tainus or no, as vada, he says, without a right, it's pashut, as vada, yeshon lomer, da daita dahochi salki venachti, umachli zelaze. It's all aldas the minhag and their mochel, bein lem or no. Now, the Beis Shlomo, Shlomo Drimmer in the Choshen Mishpat and Simon Peizayin, we'll discuss this tshuva more later, but in his tshuva, he asked a stira in the Marashdam. This was Simon Shinayin Tess in the Marashdam. He said, if you look, three tshuvas earlier, in Shinayin Vav, he says for himself. Shinayin Vav was also a tshuva involving mining. In that case, I think the question actually was mineral rights. They were actually leasing some kind of right to extract certain metals from the ground. And of course, he discusses karka and other issues in that tshuva. But the Beis Shlomo says, and it just doesn't explain, but he says it's a stira because he doesn't seem to go basar minhag. I don't really understand the question, because if you look at the end of that tshuva in Shinayin Vav, Marashdam winds up by saying, Kol zani omer sheni yodeh minhag, omnam ein safik sheminhag ikar gadol be'elah dvarim kashkasav aramam b'arim kovetz v'chein eskim ha'poskim zel. He has the disclaimer at the end of the tshuva that if there is a minhag will override. So I don't really know, I don't really fully understand what the Beis Shlomo thought was a stira here. But Al-Kalpan and the Beis Shlomo, as we'll discuss later, argue strongly that the first Marashdam that you do go Basar Minhag is wrong. He's going to be one of the major poskim who says you don't go Basar Minhag, as we will see a little bit later. Another very important area of Ana where poskim invoke Minhag is the question of auctions. Again, the Shalah goes back also earlier, but they discussed it particularly in, again, the 19th century. The Shalom Eshev is one of the famous sources on the topic. It's the only things at auctions where there's no attempt to set any kind of fair price, but the, I don't know about reserve prices and stuff, but a basic auction where the seller just says, here's the thing, whatever it's, you know, whatever I get offered, that's what I'll take. But some posts might think compare it to Nosim Nosim Be'amuna, but many posts can discuss this question of whether or not at auctions is a tain of or not. There's the Shalom Eshev in Madura Dalad, Chela Gimel, Simon Kuflam and Zayin, Dibra Maskel Derech Agav, it's a long tshuva, Dibra Maskel Derech Agav, Ezker Ramash and Ashalti, Shnas, Taf Reish Yud Beis, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Mishpat Shalom brings Samar Makamos in Simon Reish Chav Zayin, Sif Tetzvav, the Pitzchei Choshen in Perik Yud, Sif Tetzvav. So various posts can bring different svaras why there should or shouldn't be ona in auctions. The Shalom Eshev actually holds there's no ona for different reasons. And that's, I think, is more like the consensus of poskim, is that we do not allow claims of ona on public auctions. One of the Maromakamas they often quote is a tshuva of the Rush. The Rush wasn't talking necessarily about exactly about an auction, but he was also talking about something that was put up for sale by a kehila, by a government, who was asking for tenders, and they would give it to the highest bid. It was some form of auction. And the Rush discusses Ona, and he comes out that there's no Ona. But the important thing about the Rush, which some poskim will be medayek later, is that he does not say there's no Ona because of Minhag. Some poskim have tried to argue that on Ona, that on auctions there's no Ona because of Minhag. The Rush does agree there's no Ona, but he does not invoke Minhag, even though, as the Achronim point out, we got certain other questions in his tshuva, Davar Shel Bala Olam, and certain other problems, he does invoke Minhag, that this was done kafi Minhag. He says in this particular point, he does not invoke Minhag, and his silence is important. Now, earlier we mentioned the Piskei Tshuva about selling esrogim in closed boxes. Now, this is actually discussed by a number of achronim in the 19th century. We've seen the Piskei Tshuva takes for granted that such a sale is okay, it's a minhag, and minhag mevatel halacha. The most prominent offender of this is Rosh Hashanah Kluger. In the Chochma Shlomo, this is in Reish Tes, the beginning of Siv Beis. In a very interesting shtickle of Rosh Hashanah Kluger, he writes that he holds that there's no tainus ona. He says, Anochi Yoshev Po Laman Zayin Shanim, I've lived here 37 years, Makar Knias Esrogim Hu Po Rachelas. So Rachelas Amambazad, this is a major hub of Esrog business, he says, and he never heard, Lonishmame Olam Shiavo Acher Vyiftapiu Bazad. No one ever claims ona. They used to sell Esrogim in closed boxes. It seems from other sources that sometimes they used to actually sell whole cases sealed on the wholesale level. Sometimes they would sell on the consumer level, individual esrogim. Chochma mm-hmm. Shlomo says he's never heard of anyone raise any sort of issue about a nut. Why not, Taka? Yeah. So he says that because sometimes obviously you get one that's worth less than you pay for, and sometimes you get one that's worth more than you pay for, and the mocher might have tainus. So why not? So he says that tam hu keno mena katagarim. That's how esrogim are sold. Shikarim adaita dehachi im tov vimra. He says, the basic question, which we're going to be discussing for a large part of the evening, what happened to the rule that if you say ein lecha alai ona, it does not work, then we don't care if you say it. We say that lo yada dekam lachel, so why is minhag better? He says, minhag is better, yes, minhag is better. He says, if you say it, it doesn't work. Hainu midina, that's only according to the ikar halacha without a minhag, only kamakam, im nasi kein minhag ben atagarim, just like Sitzumta, you can make up your own kinyanim, even though there's no kinyan, there's no mashicha, there's no kesef. If this is how business is done, this becomes a kinyan. So too, he says, if the minhag is to sell a shrug in closed boxes, that is fine. Absolutely no problem, he says. And he says, and he goes through bring rayas and svaras, and at the end, he wraps up his shtickle by saying that I call upon Ladina Beesrug Loshai Mechatos, Bo Rei says Kana Esrug Ashtaim Khidama, Stumim Bakah Vakah, Vahakish Nifkatu, Imshava Esrug Harbeg, Imara Mocher, he says, will the Mocher ever claim, wait a second, that Esrug is worth twice what you pay for it, you have to pay me extra. Oh, and Mumakulkal, if it's a very bad Esrug, Shaina Shava Klum, might even be possible. Khimara Kanalzab, I don't know, he says. Some person say possible is different, but I'll call upon him. Chochma Shlomo says that no matter how good it is or how bad it is, ain't a shavah klum, he says, there's no tainus, no refunds, no exchanges. Zev Vada, he says, nobody ever claims this. Again, minag puk chazim ayam advar. Valkarchos, the reason is, he says, derech minag hasachrim, v'lo shayach mechatos betrogim, b'chi agavna, zev bar ludina. So the point that the Piskei Tshuva made in one or two lines, Rav Shlomo Kluger says very emphatically at length, there is no tainus of mechatos, since that's the minag, on esrogim in closed boxes. There is, however, one chalik on this. That is the Shem Aryeh. The Shem Aryeh is Aryeh Leibush Balachover, also 19th century, I think. And in his tshuvas, he has an arachayim in Simon Yud Gimel. He also discusses what was apparently in his time, too, was a widespread minhag to sell esrogim in closed boxes. And he's very unhappy about it. He says, B'shnas zo, shnas tafresh yud ches. He says, I started to notice, I stamped Lev, he says, Kodim Chagasukas, that's Rogim, that's Sochrim, the ship, he says. And sometimes they, on the wholesale level, they sell Argazim, they sell cases whole without opening them, and sometimes they sell in retail, individual Esrogim. He says, and the sellers, they sell some open and some closed. It's like a gamble, they have like special mystery Esrogim. So he says, and sometimes they're worth more than they pay, and sometimes they're worth less than they pay. Is this really a good idea? So he says, no, it's not a good idea. And he says, you should not do this. He says, the Kenyan, he says, is not such a good Kenyan. It might work according to some shitas, he's going to say, but the Kenyan is definitely a problematic, dicey Kenyan, and it's not Mishnah Chassidim. It doesn't say Mamashina Yotzi, it doesn't say it's Makid, but he says this is a bad idea, and the Kenyan is not so posh. He says, on the wholesale level, he's okay. Bishlam b'mashim ochrim har gazim ashlemim, and ben beis meichush. The wholesale is not a problem, he says. Kenu derech niyasim, kvashu niknim kachay mochrim. I don't fully understand what he's saying, but he says the wholesale doesn't bother him. But the retail level, he finds very shvur. And he gets into a whole discussion of the pesukim from the beginning of Siman Reish Tes, which we're not going to get into, the discussion of kol mashu b'yizani mochrim lecha, and different questions about smachta, and dover shenu mesuyim, and no. That's a shvur sugya in the beginning of Reish Tes, you can learn on your own. Basically, it comes out that a metz machlokas, it's a shayla, it's not so pashut. And again, he ends up by saying that several, he has a problem with the Kenyan, a problem with Mitzvah Bavera, if it's a Shalom Zeilen, and he ends up by saying that, he says, Le'ini and Lotzis say Mitzvah Zestrog, the Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, B'Vada Yesh Lahachmer, Kedas Rambam, Yesh B'Zeh Esrog Gezel, Mitzvah Bavera, Ufrat, he says, L'mahadrin Likness Esrog, Yofa V'Hadr, people on the dach take to find a really nice Esrog, Shaliyah Aleh, Shum Shemet Psul, you don't want any possible Psul, any spots, anything, Afludea Achas, you don't want it to be possibly even going to one sheet, he says, B'Vada Yenaroy, Lehem Likness Kesuim Baruba. He says you shouldn't buy blindly. Sounds like he means, first of all, because it might be a psul. If you buy blindly, you won't know. Even if you do get a good one, he says you're not going to win. If you get a beautiful esrog, you know, then it's going to be a shayla of gzeila. If you get a not such a beautiful esrog, it's not so beautiful. So he says you should stay away from this. He says you shouldn't play games. You shouldn't gamble with mitzvahs. Now, it is possible that in his time is a little different, because it says the mochrim sold some of them open and some of them closed. It is possible that the ones that were closed, the mochrim was kind of making a game out of it, so maybe he felt that wasn't nice, but HaKalpan, even though he doesn't say it's mamash asher medina, he clearly reiterates several times this is not a good idea, and it is a suffix whether it works. And again, the question is, why doesn't he simply accept that the minhag is to do it, so everything's fine? It does seem that he's going to be going through the shitas that we're about to start bringing, that hold that minhag is not really such a safe bet. If you really are dealing with the shayla of asmachta or a shayla of ana, it does seem that he's concerned that minhag is not such a great teretz to get around serious problems of gemiras das and shaylas of ana and mum. Now, as I've kept mentioning, so far we've seen that there are a number of gedolei haposkim, Maran himself and the Shulchan Aruch, the Marashdam, the Radvaz, the Chokmah Shlomo, all seem to be taken for Dover Pashut, that minhag does work to be mevatel or no, and mum, just like minhag works for all in all areas of Chashan Mishpat, minhag mevatel halacha, like Lishanli says. There are, however, two or three Gedolei Achronim who seem to reject this. We'll have to see how they deal with the Shulchan Aruch, perhaps the chilek you were saying, but there are two and lachara three of the Gedolei Achronim who say very emphatically that minhag does not work to eliminate a claim of ana and mechaktos. The first one is the Beis Shlomo we mentioned before. This is actually a very interesting tshuva of the Beis Shlomo, the context of it. The Beis Shlomo is Choshen Mishpat Tzimin Pei Zayin. The Beis Shlomo is Rav Shlomo Drimmer, one of the great Hungarian or Romanian or something poskim from the late 19th century. This tshuva was written to his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law was Chaim Aryeh Leib Kahana. Rabbi Kahana was the author of the Divrei Gaonim, the great encyclopedic 19th century work on Choshen Mishpat. It's kind of like the Pesukei Tshuva, except that it's arranged by Aleph Beis, and one big difference between him and the Pesukei Tshuva is that he quotes extensively from the Sfardim. He quotes a great deal of stuff from the early Turkish Sfardim, other Sfardim, and this Tshuva in the Beis Shlomo was written to him as congratulating him on publishing the Sefer. He thanks him for giving it to him. He says, I'm sending you a Haskama under a separate cover, and I think the Haskama is printed in the Sefer. But in this letter, he says, "Hey, Tav Asher Asa, Kilikid Kama Dinim Nechutzim, Mechuvas Chachmei Sfardim, Mesharinim Nsam." Ashkenazim obviously had less access to the Sfardic literature. Gamanochila Risameil, and Bishlamo Grad was a very big bucky, and he did quote the Sfardim a lot. But he acknowledges that the Divrei Gaonim did a great job in making the Sfardim more accessible to the Ashkenazim. So he says, "Here, I'm sending you separately, but here I'm going to write you a couple of haras on the Sefer just to show you I read some of it. I'm going to write you two haras on Os Aleph. The Divrei Gaonim is arranged alphabetically." So the first page in the Sefer, oh no, it's Aleph, he says, I'm going to write you two Haras. So the first Hara deals with that question. Do we say Minhag to Mevatel or no? So as I mentioned earlier, he brings the pair of Marashdams, and one Shuvah of the Marashdam unequivocally says, Minhag Mevatel Halacha, we do say or no. And the Bishlamo was very unhappy. He says the Marashdam is absolutely not correct. He says that, what I said, you see the Rush in his Shuvah of the auction did not invoke Minhag, even though he invoked Minhag in other areas of the Shuvah. The Rush was not willing to simply dismiss or not machlas minhag. And his basic argument, though, is the point we've been alluding to all night. We know that both in Arna and in Mechachtos, even though we paskin that you're allowed to say in Lecha Alay Arna, you can't simply say that. You have to actually specify what the Arna is, and you have to say, Yadani Shiyeshba Arna Kach V'Kach, and Arani Malcha. And the same thing applies in Mechachtos, the Achronim Shteltzu, the two halachas. Also, you can't just say, if it's a Moam, I don't care. You can't do that. You have to, even though the Ritva says if it's a Minhag, you could do that, but the basic halacha is that even if you say it, it doesn't work, because you don't know there's a Moam. So Mamela, just because you say it, it may not work. So Beis Shlomo says, we open the share by pointing out that there are two ways Minhag can work. Minhag can basically just be, by default, whatever the Minhag is, it's as though you spoke it out. Or it can be some kind of takana. So Beis Shlomo basically seems to take for granted that Minhag, he doesn't know anything about takanas. He doesn't know, all he knows is Gilu Hisni, he says. So Beis Shlomo says, I'm a Pasha Cheshman. If you say it befeirush, it doesn't work. So then why on earth is Minhag better? Beis Shlomo says it is better. He doesn't know that. He says, why should it be better? How can Minhag be better than if you spoke it out? Minhag always is Kilu, you spoke it out. But if speaking out doesn't work, then why should this be any better? So he says the Marashtam is wrong. Minhag does not work. And he says, now which Marashtam says Minhag works, Dvarav Tzarchi and Gadol Shem Negir Divrei Ashas. He doesn't mention the Mechaber that we discussed before about who says the Ferish Minhag Vachal Halacha. He just says the Marashtam is against the Gemara and finished, and he's not passing me like the Marashtam. Obviously, we have to deal with the Shulchan Aruch, who does say Minhag Vachal Halacha, and nobody's chalik on it as far as I know. So, along with the Marashtam, we have, he has a friend, he has Rav Shlomo Yehuda Tabak, the Erech Shai, also one of the greatest of the late 19th century Ashkenazi Chosh Mishpat Poskin. There's a Masara they bring, I think it's from Rav Padua B'Shem, his Rebbe the Chaviner, I think he says Imre Yosher told him, or Meir Arik told him, I forget the exact names, I don't have a chance to look it up, but I think he says that in Rabbi Yehuda's time, Rabbi Yehuda was the God Ladar, at least in Europe, wherever they were talking about. After that came the Chassam Sofer, I think, after that Beis Shlomo, and after that Erech Shai. I think those are the four names. But anyway, as you learn Chosh Mishpat, the Erech Shai and the Beis Shlomo are among two of the greatest experts in Chosh Mishpat in the late 19th century among the Europeans. So the Erech Shai is a tshuva here. A tshuva in his Tshura Shai, Chelek Aleph, Taf Nun Vav. There are different editions of the Tshura Shai, and some of them might be one-off. But anyway, in this edition, it's Taf Nun Vav. The case he was asked was about a shul. The shul had a fence. The fence was made out of wood. And they wanted a stone fence, so they were going to sell off for scrap, I guess, the old fence to the highest bidder, some kind of auction. And then they would build a new fence. So the lucky winner of the fence, when he took it home in his truck, he saw that he had overpaid for it. That whatever the wood was worth, as scrap or as firewood, it wasn't worth it. So he claimed or no. So the Rabbi Tabak, the Tshura Shai, throws the book at him. He has a number of reasons why there's no claim of or no. He shoots down various arguments one by one. For our purposes, we need the part that he talks about or not, where he talks about Minhag. So the Tshura Shai, just like the Beis Shlomo, makes exactly the same argument. He says, what are you going to tell me Minhag, he says. He says, Minhag always means, even if you didn't speak it out, it's as if you spoke it out. He says, speaking out doesn't work, like we just said. If you don't specify what the Anah is in advance, it doesn't work. So here, nobody knew what the Anah was. He found out later, he overpaid for the wood. So he says, what kind of Minhag, he says. Minhag is not better than if you spoke it out. Speaking it out doesn't work. Farti, end of the story. Now, he does deal with one very important question. He deals with Tosis. We know that in the time of the Rishonim, when they used to get engaged, they used to make all kinds of binding tanaim with knossos and all kinds of penalties, financial penalties, cherims, all kinds of, we're interested in the financial penalties, they used to have all kinds of stipulations of monies that would be owed if either party broke out of the shidduch. So many of the Rishonim discussed the question, why isn't that asmachta? Kaldi, asmachta, anytime a person makes a penalty, that's an asmachta. Maybe even not a penalty, but the chalapach is a penalty, is an asmachta. So why would these tanaim not asmachta? So the Rishonim struggled to give various reasons why these clauses were not asmachtas. So the Rambam famously held, they are asmachtas. The Rambam famously writes, his famous Eitz of the Chachmei Sfard, he says when the Chachmei Sfard wanted to make knossos and shidduchim, they would have an elaborate shtar they would use to make it work. We're not going to get into the details. When you learn asmachta, you'll see it. But the Rambam says, in Echonami, it is asmachta. That's how the Mechaber Paskins, that the knossos of shidduchim, unless you make them like the Chachmei Sfard with that special formula, are going to be asmachta. The Bali Tosfos, though, didn't want to say that. They wanted to justify the common practice in their community, which was to recognize these tanaim. So they struggled to find reasons why these tanaim work. So Tosis gave several reasons. Tosis is in Bav Metzia, the Chua Shai brings it from Samafav. I think it's also in Sanhedrin, in the Sugi over there, of Chafei Chavav. Hakalpanim, Tosis gives various reasons, various justifications for why such a Tanai would not be an Asmachta, and one of his reasons is Shekein Agu. Just like we've been seeing Poskim all night that say Minim Mavatal Halacha, and even though Ana means a person is not really Gomer Das, you're not Samek Das, even if he says it doesn't work, Minim Mavatal Halacha, Tosis says the same thing we have Asmachta. And this is indeed the consensus of Poskim today, mostly to follow this Tosis, that the Danim, but I think I saw a Chua for Rabbi Asher once, and then went on from his days in the Rabbanut where he passed in this way for Dora Pashut. And this is, I think, what most posts can say, that we follow this Mahalach and Tosfos, that anything which is done Kafiyah Minhag is not Asmachta. This is obviously a huge practical significance. You come with Shtaras all the time, Shtaras come to Beis Din, people do things all the time which would be Asmachta. And the very first question you have to ask yourself is, should we short circuit the whole Asmachta question by deciding whatever is normal in business is kafiyah minhag and is not an asmachta? Many poskim will say yes. Many poskim will say, based on this tosis, anything which is according to a well-established minhag is not an asmachta. But the Chua Shai says no. First of all, he says, if you look in tosis, tosis other turetzim, he says. And not only that, but the other turetzim of the Iker, he says. Other turetzim are the ones brought in the Shulchan Aruch. I already mentioned that the Mechaber mentions the Rambam, who says that taka is asmachta, and even the Ramah, who accepts tosis, Ramah brings other teretz of Tosis. The most famous other teretz of Tosis is that Shidduchim is considered a fair knas. It's not considered an arbitrary penalty. It's considered fair because he caused lots of boshas to the kala, or the kala causes boshas to the chasim when he backs out. So it's considered low gazim, and it's considered fair, and there's no asmachta. So we're not going to get into asmachta is a huge sugya. We're not going to get into that. But the Shua Shai basically says that this teretz of minhag is only one teretz of Tosis, and it's not the Iker one. It's not the one brought by the Shulchan Aruch. The Chasam Sofer, I think, I forget the name of the tshuva, but I think it's the one brought by the Pesach tshuva in Reish Aleph. The audio is still here?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So the Chasam Sofer, which is brought, I think, by the Pesach tshuva in Reish Aleph, the Abayas Machta, I think does go with this Tosis, and some Acharonim even claim it's not really a Machlokas, Tosis just give different Terutzim, but the Shur, but the Erech Shai says no. The Erech Shai says that Tosis gave several Terutzim because it's a Machlokas, and we don't pass him like that, Tosis. Then he goes on, and he says that even if we that Teretz of Tosis, Asmachta is different, he says. For Asmachta, we would say, Asmachta might be Drabbanan, he says, and for Drabbanan, you could say, Yefshi B'Takanas Chachamim, Shominlo, but your eyes say you don't, and he has other Chalukim. He goes on trying to argue at length that L'chalapachas for Ana, we do not accept the Minog. He goes on and says, that's Ikul Halacha, like the Beishlamo, that we do not accept the Minog. Aye, what about the Shulchan Aruch, he says. Finally, at the end of the Tshuva, all the way at the end, he says, the lies of the Shulchan Aruch says we do say Minog. So he struggles with that. So, first of all, he says, Sorry, I have to find the mouse. I didn't find it quickly enough. You try that again, maybe I'll grab it. Okay, so the... Okay. Hey, you're back, I guess. Thank you. Okay, so the Chua Shai, at the end of the Chuva, he invokes the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, first of all, he makes the point I made, that a real minhag, he says, to really be mevatel halacha, has to have minhag besikin, it has to have beis din. Spam, the people, local business people do something, he says, that wouldn't be a minhag. So again, this makes much more sense in light of what we discussed earlier, he's basically saying the point we made earlier, Lachar, that when it comes to a minhag of Kilu Hisnu, a simple Aldas Kane, Aldas the Minog, then that tack, you don't need Minog for Sikkim, but that doesn't work by Arnav, because since even if you're Masn Betharish, it doesn't work, then who has the Minog doesn't work. And the other Minog, the Minog of Takana, he's saying, that has all kinds of rules. Just because local business people do something, that's not a Minog, so a Mela doesn't work. And he has another Teretz over there, Ayin Shum, but basically, he is conceding that the Mechaber says in certain cases Minog will work. However, he says it'll depend what kind of case, it'll depend what kind of Minog, and the Mela is not so simple to just always say, in a simple garden variety case, where you try to throw out a claim of Ono or Mechatos because of Mum, like the Beishlamo, he says that we do not do that. A third sheet who holds this way seems to be the Tshuvas Chinuch Beis Yehuda in Siman Kuf Ches. The Chinuch Beis Yehuda is dealing with a stira kind of in the Shulchan Aruch. This is something that bothered me for a long time, and I think other Acharim see other Tzuritzim, but he deals with a very fundamental stira. In the beginning of Reish Lamed Beis, the Mechaber, following the Rambam, gives two different definitions of Mum back to back in the same breath, since Sivav and Sivzayin. First he says, Kol Shaskim Lola B'nai Medina Shu Mum is a Mum. Anything people agree is a Mum is a Mum. Then in Sivzayin he says that it has to be Shalom. Anything that's not Shalom is a Mum. So which is it? Is this an objective definition that things have to be Shalom? Or is this a subjective definition? Whatever people agree is a Mum is a Mum, and if not, not. So he struggles with this, he goes back and forth, and I don't fully understand everything he says. But the Maskana he comes out is a very interesting chiluk. The Maskana he comes out like this. He says that if something is objectively a mum that actually causes damage in the price, we know from Reish Lamed Beis that a mum, even if it does not cause damage, is a mum. Simply, even if it does not cause a loss of money, it's still a mum because mechak shalom ani rotzi. He says that's the kind of mum we're talking about in Siv Zayin. A mum that perhaps causes no damage. Now that's the kind of mum in Sivav. A mum that causes no damage, he says. That causes no loss in value, but l'maisa it's not shalem. That kind of mum, he says, is dependent on kol she'eskimu. But a mum that does cause damage, at least if it's yashim ishtos, he says, such a mum is not tali on his kimu. Such a mum is objectively a mum, and we don't care what their eskimu. And what basically pushes him to say this, the basic logic is the same point made by the Beis Shlomo and the Erech Shai. He says, we know that if you say al menashe ein lecha alai no, it does not work. If you say al menashe ein lecha alai mum, that simply does not work. Unless you specify what the mum is, and you specify what the anah is, you can't simply say, al menashe ein lecha alai. So he says, again, he makes the exact same argument as the Beis Shlomo and the Erech Shai. What, my yoel anu, who cares if he says, if the minig is kilu hisna? Kilu hisna does not work. So that's this doesn't work either. And that's Taka's maskana, that in his case, it was a minig that certain kinds of, that for horses, you could only claim mum for certain specific mum, other ones you can't. And he says that's not binding al pi halacha, because al pi halacha, as long as the value is significantly different from what it's supposed to be, that's it. You can't be mashmas. So he basically is in the same camp as the Erech Shai and the Beis Shlomo. They all seem to say that a real mum that causes real damage cannot simply be overridden by a minug, because the minug is kilu hisnu, and kilu hisnu does not work, and therefore it does not work. We're just about done. I'm just going to quote one last Maramach on the subject of Minog, slightly different topic, but one thing worth knowing, kind of Mustavart, if nothing else. This is in Siman Reish Chaf Ches. The Shulchan Aruch, following the Rambam, following the Gemara, lists all kinds of deceptive business practices you're not allowed to do. You can't fluff up your animals, you can't make your meat look redder than it's supposed to be, you can't dye the hair black, and you can't do all kinds of things that will fool customers into thinking that your stuff is better than it is. So the Taz in Sifkan Tazayin in Reish Chaf Ches says you can't do these things to the basar, soak it and plump it or other things. They would do something called leficha, they would inflate it. Hainu, he says, Machmash ain't minokin. But if the minok is to do it, then you can do whatever you want, the Smash says. So the Pesach Choshen points out there are chalakim on this. The chalakim are the Divrei Malkiel in Chelek Gimel Siman and Dalet, the Beis Yaakov, there are a bunch of svarim by that name. This is the one that comes after the Divrei Malkiel, often art on the Shulchan Aruch. Pesach Choshen brings these shittas in Arna, Perek Tezvav, Haramem. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav is also chalik. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, Yesh Matirim in Bekitzer, this is Shulchan Aruch Rav is in Arna, in Arna, Osiutes. He says, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch Rav is that if the minig of all katzavim, all butchers do it, not a shvacha minig, every butcher does this, he says. Everyone knows it. Kol Yadin Ibn Hagim, he says. Yesh Misha Matir. You have a smile as Matir, he says. Then he adds, V'shamer Nafsha Yerchak Mizah, Ki'afo Bekein Yesh Lachush, Yizbar Akona, Shu Shemen, Shomen Be'emesh, Re'yesh Harbe Shemen and Ba'olam, V'shul Kach Ozim Kein Kolak Atzavim. The mice, he says, are fool's customers. Even though they know that people do this, they still think that this is better quality than it is. And Divrei Malkiel also, you're not going to be able to read the whole thing, but he's Mayrach on this topic also, and he argues this very strongly, the smile is wrong, he says. Because even though the Mechaber says if the minig is to add water to the wine, it's mutter, he says, that's because everyone knows that wine has 10% water. So there's no fooling, he says. But these kind of mumim, he said, these kind of things, once you fluff it up and you paint it over, they don't know how bad it is. They don't know if it was good, it was bad. So you can have all. So Yom Kippur seems to hold. Shulchan Aruch seems to hold. Even though there is a minhag is not entirely to fool people. If people, the meister will be fooled, even though everyone does this, and the Lekech knows you're doing this. But Afal Pikein, Afal Pikein, just because the minhag is to do this, l'maisa, the Torah doesn't want you to fool people, and you should not be, and you cannot, you shomer nafsho, or it's even osur according to the Rakil, you cannot do this if the minhag is not to do it. Okay, so thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Very fascinating. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Nikoya.
Rakhtia.
Well done.